John is working on a book that will be about the thing about me being held hostage. And so John spent a couple hours interviewing me today about stuff. And I'm getting more excited about it. It could be a really good book.
Fantasy?
Yeah. We have to work up. We have to work up all kinds of fantasy situations to make the book exciting. But John, in one of the ways we were talking, it reminded me of this, the thing that's central to everything that I teach. And that is that there's no such thing as progressive revelation. And that the idea that when I left time, that I had no separate identity, and it was like there was no, and so it's hard to talk about the experience, because we can only understand experience as related to something taking place in our environment and happening to us, or something we see, or something we understand. But when I left time, I was part of everything. I mean, it was like, and all truth, all questions that I ever had were answered without even asking the question. And so it's hard to talk about this to anybody, because nobody, you know, you don't find too many people who've had a common experience.
It's gonna make a great book.
But the one thing that it's caused in me is to be certain that there's no such thing as time-dependent truth. And that all of the things in the Old Testament were allegorical or metaphorical to show forth the truth that never changes with time. And even in my own experience, or my own searching of the scriptures, or my own subsequent points of revelation, it never changed. It was always the same.
You're not saying that things in the Old Testament didn't happen. Are you saying they didn't happen?
No.
Mm-hmm. I thought you said they were allegorical.
Well, they are.
Just like everything, the things that we see, even though we see a bird flying, it's a
metaphor for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
God arranged history to be a metaphor for our
all of nature.
Well, with that in mind, then, this is what I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about. As you all know, there are seven feasts that were commanded in the book of Leviticus, eight counting the Sabbath, that were commanded in the book of Leviticus to be celebrated forever. And for three feast seasons, they had to appear and go to Jerusalem. There were pilgrimage feasts, and all males over the age of 12 were required to present themselves before the Lord in the place of his choosing, which was the temple in Jerusalem. Now, and they had to come from wherever they were in the whole world, and if they didn't come to those three feasts, they were cut off from the people. Not just for a little while, they were cut off forever, unless they went through a whole ceremonial point of repentance, and then they were allowed back for a while. I mean, you know, with certain conditions. But it started me thinking about the process of why there are so many denominations and why there's so much pettiness in what we now know as either Judaism or Christianity. And there's so many thoughts about what something means, and so many personality conflicts and all kinds of crap. Well, it struck me that if we were in the position where we three times a year had to drop everything we're doing and either walk or ride horseback or ride in the cart at the best for much of the trip, and maybe a ship for part of it, and had to present ourselves before the Lord in the temple of God, that common need, that common experience would tend to destroy the pettiness that would arise from different intellectual... They had some factions within Judaism. We've talked about them, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Essenes, the Zealots. But they weren't... Those were primarily factions within Judea. In other words, within the area surrounding Jerusalem, for those people who didn't have to go anywhere. The Galileans, the people in Rome, the people in Corinth, the people from Babylonia, the people from all over the world, they weren't Sadducees or Pharisees or Essenes or Zealots. They were people of the living God. It was only where they got settled in a routine in Jerusalem and they didn't have to have any hardship or have to go anywhere that these factions begin to develop. And it didn't matter what kind of a political structure they were existing in. It really didn't matter. Nothing mattered except the trek towards Jerusalem. And so all differences, pettiness between people, different ideas, tended to be dissolved in this need to present yourself three times a year before the Lord, going to Jerusalem. Now, and even in the Passover, next year in Jerusalem. Well, now, with synagogue Judaism, which is includes Christianity, there's nothing of that. There's only settling in the place you are. And once you settle down, once you are settled in a place, then you have lost the idea that you're a pilgrim on earth. And then because one of the manifestations of the losing the idea that you're a pilgrim is you have to take stands. When you're a pilgrim faced with danger, all of the other crap in your life tends to disappear. Differences between husbands and wives, or even between children or families, or differences in interpretation of the scripture, all of those things disappear when you see that you're a pilgrim moving towards a common identity. That the fact that you're on the same road and that you're in danger becomes the only identity, the only thing that binds you together. You don't have the luxury of sitting around taking stands on what you believe or don't believe. And that's what's happened. Look around us. I mean, every time that whenever we or whenever the world or whenever anybody begins to be settled, then they have to take a stand. And the moment they take a stand, then the Balaam arise, and the Balaam caused the divisions. Mm-hmm. Now, what can we learn from this? Well, obviously, we learn that we're only pilgrims. That there is never any place by which we can take a stand. Even the place where we meet. We have no idea if we're going to be here in the next 3 months or 4 months or however long. We have no idea where we're going to be next. I want us to get to a deeper level tonight. The Psalms of Ascent are the Psalms, Psalm 120 to 134, that are read every time that they were on the road to Jerusalem, to the feast. But what more importantly to you, what these are, the only time you ever have been out of shape, the only time you're ever in a position of being in an argument or concerned or worried, is when you don't know that now, this instant, you're in the New Jerusalem. And so, the Psalms of Ascent, it seems to me, are the appropriate reading every time that you don't know you're at total rest. Because you see, first of all, you see that you're a pilgrim. And secondly, you see that the end result of reading the Psalms of Ascent is how good and how sweet it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, that recognition of that movement, now our warfare is no longer flesh and blood. It's this thing here, of our mind telling us that we are not in the New Jerusalem. And every time your mind tells you not, well, you better get back in the road. How do you get back in the road? You remind yourself by reading the Psalms of Ascent. And the more you read those Psalms of Ascent, which they were all required to read, and they were not read, they were sung in a joyous fashion as they were moving up towards Jerusalem. Remember, part of the Psalms are that they wanted us, how could we sing a song? When they wanted us to sing by the river when we're in Babylon, how can we sing in a land not ours? Whap! Then you find out, my God, I'm in the New Jerusalem. I can sing. I can praise. Interesting scriptures. These are scriptures that are connected with, quote unquote, the day of the Lord. Isaiah 2, the word of, don't look, this is not you reading, this is you listening. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. The word that Isaiah saw. Word he saw. How did he see it? He was pulled out of time. Every prophet in this book was written from the standpoint of him being in the New Jerusalem and looking at time. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last day that the mountain of the Lord's house, and there's only one mountain and there's only one Lord's house, the mountain is in Jerusalem, in Moriah, and the Lord's house is the New Jerusalem, the temple. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. The word for nations is there is the Hebrew word am, A-M, which just means people. God, I saw this so neat, and I can't even, again, if you think of all of the peoples of the earth as different colored waters, and somehow they're all mixed together, but the waters are each a different color, and you look around and it seems like the waters are totally in turmoil and all mixed together, and the colors are mixing up and getting all, but there's one color that somehow comes out of all of those. That total miasma, is that a good word?
It's a great word.
That mess, that one color flows out of the mess and flows into the New Jerusalem. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to that mountain of Jacob, and he will teach us of his own ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation or people shall not lift up sword against people, neither shall they learn war any more. Can you see? It's only the New Jerusalem that we're concerned with. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. I never saw that before, that flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Effectively, every time I preach, I'm telling you to say, I'm just simply saying to you, come see. and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion. What is Zion? They that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion. That's one of the readings in the Psalms of Ascent, the definition of who Zion is. And the word of the Lord shall go forth from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among many, many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. And people shall not lift up sword against people, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his own vine, and under his fig tree, and none shall make him afraid, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. For all people will walk, every one, in the name of his God. Now he's talking about all people. All people walk in the name of his God, small g. All people walk in the name of his God. We now know atheism is impossible. But we will walk in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong people. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first domain, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. See, all alleged Bible scholars, everybody reads that this is something that's going to happen. And therefore we have all this false heresy, that's redundant. We have all a heresy about the nation of Israel and the building up of some political Israel and a political Jerusalem. God says, all that's past. Everything that he could have done has been finished, and the new Jerusalem is right here. And we're not part of anything else. Are you sick? Return to Jerusalem. There's no sickness in Jerusalem. Are you in sorrow? Then return to Jerusalem. There's no sorrow in Jerusalem. Are you depressed? Then return to Jerusalem. There's no depression in Jerusalem. There's only joy unspeakable. Do you have a need? Return to Jerusalem. There's no need in Jerusalem. God will remake a world to meet your need if you're in Jerusalem. He will create things out of rocks. He will turn water into wine. He will turn dirt into gold. There's nothing he won't do for you in Jerusalem. Now, what I'm telling you is, I know I'm getting ahead of the game in terms of where we are in the truck, but we're only reading about being in the wilderness I'm sure glad we're out of that shit. We're in the New Jerusalem. It's our permanent place of residence. It's the overriding reality. We walk not by those things which are seen, Amen. And when you see, when you see that this is our common bond, if there's a problem between two people, you can't have a, when you see that, you just sit down and read the Psalms of Ascent together. There's nothing in this universe that can touch us. It's finished. Let's read the Psalms of Ascent.
Should we get a Bible?
No, you can listen to me read it. Again, the Psalms of Ascent are Psalm 120 to 134. We go from distant to Jerusalem as we're ascending up. The closer we get, the more joyous it becomes. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and a deceitful tongue.
Always grabbing his tongue at this moment.
Both of them in the
day. That is the strongest muscle in your body, by the way. Huh? It's interesting that your tongue is the strongest muscle in your body. That's true.
Pound.
In a trivial pursuit game.
What shall be given unto thee? Or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of Juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. You know, those places are just places other than the promise. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. Just think of Christ. This Christ in you saying this stuff. I mean, he's been silent in this tent of Kedar. And he's been dwelling with the lying lips and the deceitful tongue. Some of your high place, I mean, he's sick and tired of all these high place identities. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? Not from the hills. My help cometh only from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer the foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And the word keepeth there is the word garrisoned, which it's like you get a badass army surrounding you. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, hear me. The Lord has preserved you from any evil whatsoever from this time forth, even forevermore. Now, hear what Isaiah says. That's a promise. That's what you bet your life on. You understand? Now Isaiah says, woe unto him that calls good evil and evil good. What happens then if you call something that happens to you from now on evil?
And you're wrong.
You'll be cast out because you're not discerning soul from spirit. you're not enduring chastening as all children endure, but you are as the bastard, the illegitimate son, who runs upon being chastened or declares something that happens to you as evil or bad. Do you understand? I'm talking about all things. I'm talking about your mind. Oh my God, I can't think that. I must be evil. That must be evil for me to think that. I'm talking about anything anybody can do.
What's the flip side of that?
True.
All things are good.
Yeah, you mean about being cast out of it?
No, something happens and I go, oh, this is good. This is wonderful. This is exciting. It's really something to get hopped up about.
For you, you don't get wrong.
No. Yeah. This is a... This the only thing that I want you happy about is that your permanent residence is in New Jerusalem. If any other thing causes your happiness, then you're subject to its, if you don't have it, to its depression. That's why I gave you that lecture.
And therefore you care about the outcome of events,
and therefore you exert yourself, therefore you can't enter the rest.
Giant spark.
This we had a conversation that he's trying to gig me with.
No, not at all.
The only thing that brings you joy is the New Jerusalem, the knowledge of your permanent residency, the knowledge. This is you're not, nothing. No subjective things can bring you joy. They do as a little child, but.
Isn't that where we make a distinction? Joy is something not dependent on the world. Happiness is day-to-day, ups and downs.
Right, but I'm saying to you that God, again, I'm saying this a lot lately, God no longer wants us to be in joy for a moment and sad for a season.
Yeah.
He wants us to be in joy independent of what normally would cause us happiness or not. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up unto the house of our Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem, and never again be moved. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. See the mystery is, you got to see this mystery. From God's standpoint, we are the building blocks of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is seen as the bride adorned for her husband. And the word adorned is the word that's cosmos, that God so loved that bride or that adorning, that bride, that he gave his son.
That thing in Malachi, was it? We read at the end of the Shema.
Yeah.
We used to read the Shema. Where he gathered God's the Shema. Jewels. And then the walls of Jerusalem were made up of these.
Amen.
And Revelation talks about all these different jewels.
And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him. Hmm. They shall be as jewels. That's us. Mm-hmm. And that's what, man, if we could see God, how God sees, when we are at peace in that New Jerusalem, which is our only overriding identity, then we are as the jewel.
We see everybody else.
And you see everybody else as the jewel.
Yeah, that Jerusalem being a city compact together, that's screaming, Paul, Paul, Paul.
Amen. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compacted together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there, and there only, set thrones of judgment, the throne of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and company's sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is only in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And this is the one that I never want you to forget when anybody talks to you about Zion or going to Jerusalem. They that trust in the Lord, they are Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever and ever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forevermore. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside into their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel. Now this is another neat one. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, that means when he let us loose, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as in the streams of the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, or to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. For thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace be upon Israel. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. may Israel now say, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. But the Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turned back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth afore it groweth up, wherewith the mower filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you, or we bless you in the name of the Lord. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, O Lord, should markest iniquities, O Lord, who could possibly stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope, in his word alone do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that wait for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, and neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things that are too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself, as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the Almighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes, or slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out the place of the Lord, the habitation of the mighty God of Jacob. I mean, nothing else matters. Nothing. I don't care if you go without sleep for 400 days, unless you know where the habitation of Yahweh is. Everything else is pissing in the wind. Lord, we heard it at Ephrata. We heard of it at Ephrata. Does anybody remember Ephrata? Yeah. Besides John? Huh? Yeah. Good.
I'm still a little star, Judy.
Blessings on Rabbinit.
Rabbinit.
Little rabbit.
Rabbit, Judy.
We found it in the fields of the woods. We will go into his tabernacle. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest. Interesting concept.
Yeah, to arise into a rest.
Arise, O Lord, into thy rest.
Everything's backwards because things are flowing up. The waters are flowing up to the mountain instead of down.
The opposite is descending into the world.
Thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness. It's hard to say. With righteousness. And let thy saints shout for joy for the servant, for thy servant David's sake. Turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. This is God talking. They that trust in the Lord are Mount Zion. He's chosen you to dwell in, to rest in. He's desired it forever. It's a ridiculous God. I'd have done it differently.
You'd have built a big house,
right? We're talking
Cancun or somewhere.
Right.
Find a better place to rest.
What?
That's the doctrine in a nutshell. I would have done it differently.
I'd have been a kind and benevolent king.
I have no idea.
Lest you be crossed.
Huh?
Lest you be crossed.
Well, of course. This goes with the territory.
That's
why the king, you don't cross the king.
Do you know that Oli in Norwegian means king?
Per Oli?
What?
Do you know?
Are you serious? That is a joke.
Norwegian and English
means
joke.
Anthony means weenie.
Hey, weenie.
I know, what can I say?
For the Lord hath chosen Zion.
Amen.
He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Then will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. Behold how good and how pleasant it is. Now they've entered the gate. Now they're in Jerusalem. They couldn't sing this one any place else other than inside the walls. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I remember the first time I read that with understanding to Larry, and Larry cried for about an hour.
That's the first time I've seen this so clear. Here's Zion, and Zion is made up of those who trust in God. What a wonderful place to live. You know, I mean, he can live there in safety because they trust in him. It's a love relationship.
Amen.
And he can give everything to them because they are his.
Amen. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down. You remember when it talks about, well, never mind, I won't get into that. That ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. That's the Psalms of Degrees, Psalms of Ascent. Anytime you've been out of shape, get back to the New Jerusalem quick.
Amen.
Because you may not have the next moment.
That's right. Anybody sick? You're not going to be for long. Anybody have any needs? You're not going to have them for long.
Amen.
What?
So better enjoy them while you can.
I can't hear you.
She said better enjoy them
while you can. Oh, yeah. Can everybody take the bread?
We can.
By his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
By his offering he has perfected us forever. By his love he has met our every need.
Amen.
From now, no, ever again, no evil can befall you.
Amen.
Only good. You never again have to seek man's approval. You set your face as a flint to go out to Jerusalem.
Well, I'll tell you, when you said that about, I don't know what you said. Something you said, though, broke that in me, finally.
Hallelujah.
I mean, it's been just kind of hanging on by a thread, but when you said something and it was like, And it was gone, and I don't give a fuck about man's approval. It's so free.
Amen.
But it's not, I mean, it's even in here.
Amen.
I mean, in here is where I really want to be.
Amen. Now be free. The same night.
That's the first time I ever held your hand, too.
Yeah.
Probably about the same time.
Probably. Oh, that's correct. Time.
The same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it. And he said, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth. And I think he said more than just take, eat, this is my body. I think he said that this perfection, which is God, is being brought forth from your vessel of earth. You rest. You don't have to worry anymore. In every domain, you rest. And in the resting, fruit is brought forth. And he said, take, eat. This is my body.
Now, I heard that when you said that about no evil can befall you, I heard that in the areas where I lose control, the areas that the things, the little things at work, that, you know, losing something or somebody.
Butch is a witness against you now.
Yeah, I know. Butch is always a witness.
That's a dirty job that somebody has.
Any of you are worried about getting approval or made worthy? It's gone, because now you're made worthy by the blood.
Amen.
And he took the cup and gave thanks, and he said, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine. And he said a lot of stuff. One of the things I know he said was that you now are the true Israel. I've redefined the fruit of the vine. That you are the bride of God, and members in particular.
Amen.
You've had other gods, but now you shall only know me as your husband. And as a husband loves his bride, so I love you, for no man ever yet hated his flesh. And God is looking at us and saying, He's well pleased again. I feel it.
We have His complete approval.
Because we've accepted Christ in His totalities. None of us. There's nothing of us that's worthy. But all of Him is.
Amen. This is symbolic of that.
Oh, hallelujah. He said, This is my blood which is shed for you for the remission of sin. The new life that is now resident within you. Behold, all old things are passed away. Now we behold the new. To the bride. Esther, 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 Esther.